Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Another training camp podcast here at Gillette Stadium with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo taking you on a Saturday afternoon, a hot and steamy Saturday afternoon here in Foxborough. Some news to report, possibly, and I want to start right in with that, because we're kind of developing some details as we come in. First, Pro Football Talk, Andy, reported yesterday that Cleo Lemon,
that
former Dolphins
quarterback, worked out at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That a quarterback worked out at Gillette Stadium by the name of Cleo Lemon, not by the name of
Mike
Vick.
Not as exciting as the other story.
And because we had always, sort of dismissed that, you know, we went right to the Pro Football Talk report, and we got the 911 on that.
The 911 or the 411?
The 911. Because I think it's an emergency to sign a guy like that.
Yes.
No. All right. We kid. Cleo Lemon was here on Friday, according to ProFootballTalk.com. Went through a workout for the coaches out in the field, presumably inside the practice bubble, because we were out there for practice yesterday and there were no Cleo Lemon sightings. Now, today, ESPN.com is reporting that a signing is imminent.
Expected.
And Tom Malone has evidently been waived.
That is fact.
So
Tom Malone is no longer a Patriot.
So that would certainly open up a roster spot. We've talked about a veteran quarterback perhaps coming in to push Kevin O'Connell for the backup job. I'm just not sure this is the guy, Andy. I know you wrote some of the stuff on the blog.
Yeah, I wrote on the blog about it because some fans had kind of questioned, does this mean they're unhappy with O'Connell? Is he going to compete for that backup job? I think a true veteran maybe could. I don't think O'Connell's had a great start to camp. I think he's been inconsistent. But I don't consider Cleo Lemon a veteran backup quarterback. He's a five-year guy, had most of his playing time under Nick Saban in Miami. I think 8 career starts, including 7 in one season. But he's a guy. He's got a 55% career completion percentage, like 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, something in that area. I just see him as a guy, and if anything, maybe he's competing for the third job or simply depth. He's now going to be number 5 on the depth chart. Obviously, you have Brady and O'Connell. Gutierrez is back again. And Brian Hoyer, the undrafted free agent. Hoyer got extended reps today on Saturday, the second session. Actually, Tom Brady did some 2-minute and hurry-up work. And then the very next group was led by Brian Hoyer. And then he got extra reps at the end of practice. They had some of those opportunity reps where some of the younger, unproven guys stayed on the field while the veterans left. Obviously, Hoyer led the offense and was the quarterback for that group. I think he's had an okay start to camp. He is not gifted in terms of a strong arm, but he throws a nice ball. He seems relatively heady. I haven't seen him really struggle in his limited reps to, get the offense lined up and understand what he's doing out there. Underwhelmed with what I'd be called Cleo Lemon. As I wrote on the blog, I think this is one of those training camp moves you won't remember 2 years from now. It'll just be kind of a part of the summer that was 2009.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he has a great chance to stick with the team even. I'm not sure he's better than any of the 3 backups that you have right now, let alone Kevin O'Connell and Matt Gutierrez, 2 guys that have some NFL experience. So we'll monitor that as closely as we can. I'm sure we'll have more for that for you tomorrow on the Sunday roster report. I'm sorry, not the roster, but the training camp podcast. I'm getting all my podcasts confused.
Well, it's a signing, so you get confused.
Right. Just want to get some of the bookkeeping out of the way, Andy. Some of the attendance for today. Looks like the veteran wide receivers, Joey Galloway and Randy Moss, are sort of alternating.
Flippity-floppity?
They have rarely been on the field together. This morning, Joey Galloway took part in the practice, and Randy Moss did not. This afternoon, Galloway was out of uniform while Randy Moss was out there being Randy Moss. I mean, just snagging passes everywhere like he always does.
Guy rolls out of bed and is great. I didn't know he rolls out of bed at 3:30 for a 3:45 practice.
Really quickly, I'm just going to run down the guys who were missing. Now, Jonathan Wilhite missing from both practices. That's a little bit of a concern because he's a guy I think we were both kind of excited to see involved in a lot of different packages with the defense. We thought he was making some strides. This is 3 practices in a row now that he hasn't been out there for, so that's not a good sign. Teddy Bruschi also missed both sessions. questions today. Al Johnson, Ryan O'Callaghan, Benjamin Watson missing practice today. That's not a good sign for a guy who's had some struggles with durability. Myron Pryor continues to be out of action. Richard Seymour continues to be out of action. Jarvis Green missed the morning but was back for the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So there's some one bit of promising news there. Other than that, the lists remain the same. Brandon Tate still on NFI, and the other five remain on PUP. What's that? Mark Lavoie, Daryl Richard, Rich Ornberger, Ty Warren, and Sean Crable, and Tyrone McKenzie remains unsigned.
Indeed.
What stuck out for you today, Andy?
Well, I think the two stories of the day from a media perspective, and to give fans a little bit of a taste what they're going to read in the Sunday morning papers, will be some Vince Wilfork stuff, because Vince Wilfork, while he's been here throughout camp, spoke with the media today. Obviously, there were questions about his contract and all that, but that's kind of, to me, old news. That's been an ongoing story all along. He wants a new contract, but he's not willing to sit out. He's going to be at everything he has to be. He's contractually obligated to be at. So beyond that, I think the story is linebacker, but maybe not for the reason people would think, which is competition, who's going to be on the outside, who's going to start next to Mayo. To me, the story for the first 3 days has been Jerod Mayo and Adalis Thomas. The first 3 days, the
laying
stars.
A physical presence, too.
You had day one that Sammy Morris got knocked on his can by Adalis Thomas. Day two, you had Thomas, I thought, standing out, and I wrote about this on the web today, chasing down Greg Lewis maybe 50 yards on a screen pass coming from the backside, you know, one of those Ben Watson-type plays, a hustle play. He's been unblockable, physical, everything for Adalis Thomas. And then this morning and this afternoon, it was Mayo who was all over the place. And sorry, Sammy Morris, but once again, you were the guy getting knocked on your can, this time by Mayo. And then he comes out in the afternoon session. He's shoving Lawrence Maroney to the ground, banging guys, knocking passes down. I think those two guys who are, let's face it, the only two guys you can count on at this point at linebacker, I think, especially with Bruschi out of the lineup,
yep,
have looked phenomenal for 3 days. I know we got a long ways to go to even get to a preseason game, never mind the opener, but I can't say how impressed I was with those two guys these last 2 days.
I totally agree with you on those two guys, and I'm going to throw a cornerback into this discussion about guys that have really impressed, and that's Lee Bodden.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's shown a very physical style to his game. I think he likes to get up on the receivers, and I think he sort of relishes, kind of almost like Ty Law. I wouldn't say he's quite as physical as Ty Law, but he likes to get really close to the receivers. Probably going to get some penalties.
Say, who are the last two guys we said physical in training camp, likes to get in the receivers, probably going to get penalties? Their names were Asante Samuel and Ty Law.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro corner, but at least we're seeing good things from him early on in his career here. The one thing I would note is, as far as I've seen, he's a right cornerback. He's been on the right side of the defense.
Almost every rep that I've seen. Yeah.
All the other rotating and competition, guys like Wilhite, Butler, Springs, has happened a lot on the other side. He's been very active and very much a staple on the right side of that secondary.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, a lot of special teams work getting done, as is always the case during training camp. We have really been impressed with Scott O'Brien really enthusiastic. Brad Saley was too, but we both kind of like the hands-on approach that O'Brien's brought to that unit. Today it was kick returns. They got a lot of work at, and we got to see some different guys back there at various times. I mean, we've had Maroney, we've had Falk, we've had Wes Welker a little bit. We got to see some new guys like Terrence Nunn, Julian Edelman, who, by the way, dropped another one today. I don't think returning is really in his immediate future.
I want to tiptoe through that because clearly he didn't do it in college. So
it's a new skill. I think he's looked pretty good as a receiver.
You only have even as a return, you only have so long to prove you can do it.
Yeah.
If day one, day two, he was terrible about ball bounce off his chest off punts yesterday. Today it was kickoffs. It was a scoop and score for the scout team for Raven Trone. I don't think we're going to see a lot of him returning kicks.
Yeah, we also saw Terrence Wheatley and Darius Butler get a couple of reps in that regard today, too. So we thought those guys might enter into the equation as returners. Today, I think, was really the first time I can recall out of the six practices, the first time I can recall both of those guys getting back there.
And I think Butler, that was as athletic and fluid as I've seen him look. Punt returns, you all remember in veteran camp, he dropped a couple, struggled early on there. Today, he caught a kickoff and looked smooth as silk. Now, obviously, there's no, the coverage is kind of limited and all that, but I thought he looked good, decisive, fluid.
Now, we both thought the afternoon practice was the first sign that we thought maybe the heat and the strenuous schedule that they've sort of opened camp with here has taken its toll. A little dragging, I thought. They had a hurry-up drill toward the end of the second practice that was neither hurried nor up-tempo. And that's the way I wrote it on the update.
You're a wordsmith.
Thank you very much. But I did think before that happened, I thought it was a little bit the tempo really slowed, I thought, about halfway through the practice and it kind of grinded to a halt from there. But before that, one of the more enjoyable drills that Andy and I like to watch every year is blitz pickup, pass protection with the running backs going against the inside linebackers. And we got to see some good stuff. Gerard Mayo, again, I mean, to reiterate everything Andy said, just killing everybody. He looks like a beast out there. He's bull rushing every guy that he goes against.
I'll give the scouting report to the running backs next time they do the drill. He's going to run right at you, lower his helmet, and hit you as hard as he possibly can.
He's coming at you with power. He's not diving
over. Fred Taylor learned early on when he got bent over backwards.
But I thought both Lawrence Maroney and Sammy Morris performed very well in that drill. Obviously, we thought Mayo on the linebacker side was pretty good. I didn't think it was Paris Lennon's strength as a
linebacker. Not overly athletic in the pass rush category.
But I did see Gary Guyton won a few. He lost a few. So there was some. I thought there was some good competition in that drill.
Yeah, they might have run out of gas because of stuff like that. This practice started out nicely.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, as they got into the team segment, kind of came to a screeching halt. Did you mention the Moss catch? Where a drill in which the quarterbacks, all four quarterbacks, line up.
That was my play of the day.
Four wide receivers are running routes. Each quarterback throws to a different receiver, except on one they accidentally both threw to Randy Moss. And no surprise, Randy Moss caught both.
No matter. No matter. The guy's amazing.
Hand, he's the best.
And I know it was just a silly drill, and you know, and most fans just look at that as, well, it's something these guys do in their sleep. But he just so effortlessly catches one, puts it under the arm, reaches up with the other hand, bang, no problem.
Are we the Randy Moss of podcasters? We just make it look easy.
Well, some would argue that we didn't do so well with that today, particularly being, over an hour late than we were supposed to because we got some bad information from the producers. But anyway, we will put a wrap. We'll put a wrap. So keep an eye out. Cleo Lemon, by all reports, was here. And the Patriots are sort of wrapping that up and may sign him as soon as today before the day is done.
Pats get a lemon.
We'll have more on that tomorrow. For now, we'll put a wrap on today's training camp podcast.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.